lovely.
And, the devil's advocates may not agree on much.
I like to give a big round of applause to my band, Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree? I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Teach them well. And
welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Senator Ron Johnson showing us all the way. The children, they're somebody else's problem. And he said it aloud on television in the state where he's running for re-election. I mean, I thought Republicans loved their children too. I guess I get that part wrong, Ron. You know, Ron's coming to my backyard tomorrow morning. I was just seeing about RSVPing. Maybe I'll go see my buddy Ron. It's been a while.
If this is what we can expect from Rojo, I say bring it on. Go for it. CNN, Fox, MSNBC, from the tallest mountains, let us hear it.
You know, I bet he'll raise money in some twisted way off this inarticulate statement. Is it inarticulate, or is that exactly what he meant to say?
Exactly what he meant.
Probably. Little fact check on our senator here in the great state of Wisconsin. He's on the ballot in the midterms and did a little COVID-19 a second opinion panel this week. And the fact checkers, well, they're working overtime. And I want to share a few of the facts because Ron might have had a super spreader event of fake news. But let me read a little. I found this article at themadison.com. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on Monday convened a group of doctors and scientists who have been criticized for spreading COVID-19 misinformation to get a second opinion on the health issues facing Americans because of the pandemic. Now, here's a quote from Rojo. Until COVID, a fundamental principle of medicine was, when dealing with a serious illness, to get a second opinion, maybe even a third. Today, it's about getting that long overdue second opinion. Oh, that's who I want giving me second opinions, Rojo. Here's more. Immediately after Johnson's panel, the Committee to Protect Healthcare, an advocacy group aligned with Democrats, held a Zoom call with Wisconsin doctors to criticize the senator for spreading misinformation. Senator Johnson has done this before. This isn't new, according to Bob Friedland, an ophthalmologist from La Crosse. Senator Johnson continues to give a megaphone to notorious COVID-19 misinformation doctors. Dr. Ann Helms, a critical care neurologist from Milwaukee, said she believes the Republican from Oshkosh is trying to look tough. Here's her quote. I think there's just an interest in pretending this isn't happening. We've made this into a partisan issue when it shouldn't be. This should be about listening to the science. Well, isn't that what Rojo's doing? Here's a little bit more. The discussion organized by Johnson was advertised as an alternative perspective to the U.S. government's response to COVID-19. Speakers and audience members gathered in person without masks in the Russell Senate office building. Although the event was not an official Senate hearing, doesn't have the gavel anymore. A day earlier, several of the speakers attended the Defeat the Mandates rally of several thousand demonstrators who marched from Washington Monument to the Lincoln Memorial to protest COVID-19 vaccination mandates. Notable attendees at both events included Dr. Robert Malone, a doctor and infectious disease researcher removed from Twitter for spreading COVID-19 misinformation, and Christina Parks. She holds a PhD in cellular and molecular biology and is a staunch critic of COVID vaccines. Johnson praised the speakers for their courage and compassion in treating COVID-19 patients with alternative medical options. He's so proud of that right to try. Try anything. Try all the drugs. I want to thank the courageous doctors who have shown the compassion to actually treat patients and suffer the vilification, the censorship, the suppression that has come with their courage. Yeah, Rojo, you're all martyrs now. Here are a few of the claims made at this alternative event and, you know, perhaps a few of the facts as well. Here's a claim. The COVID virus is not spread from an asymptomatic person to another asymptomatic person. That's the representation made by Dr. Peter McCullough. He used to work in internal medicine at Baylor University. But here's the facts. More than half of transmissions that occur in our communities are occurring by people who have no symptoms. This is a virus in which people become infectious before the symptoms begin. And for some of those people, the symptoms may never begin. And yet, they're infectious while they're asymptomatic. So to put that down as false, here's another claim. Aaron Carrarty. Sorry, Aaron, I don't know how to spell or say your name. A former professor at the University of California Irvine School of Medicine, who was fired over his refusal to be vaccinated against COVID-19 and for other reasons, said people with natural immunity, meaning people who have developed antibodies from contracting a virus, cannot be reinfected with COVID-19 or transmit the virus to others. So the claim is, once you had it, you can't spread it, you can't give it to others, you can't get it again. Now here are the facts. While it is true that people may develop antibodies to a virus like COVID-19, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention study released in September found that 36% of those with prior COVID infections did not produce any antibodies. That's like 1 in 3, Senator. Here's a quote from the CDC. You have to survive COVID in order to walk away with some immunity that can be protected for the future. And how long that protection lasts varies from person to person. He noted the emergence of new variants continue to threaten prior immunity. As stated by the CDC, reinfections do occur after COVID-19. So, sorry, Rojo, I'm putting it down for another false and misleading claim. Here's another one. Johnson claimed the National Institutes of Health has told those who test positive for COVID-19 to go home and do nothing. Go home and do nothing. I wish you would go home and do nothing, Ron, but here is the facts. Patients are told to monitor their symptoms, that if they progress to the point where they need medical attention, the people should seek medical attention. The CDC lists certain warning signs of when to seek medical emergency care. So also false, Ron, maybe one more. Dr. Harvey Risch, professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health and Yale School of Medicine, said when hydroxychloroquine, oh, you remember that, that was one of Trump's favorites, is used as an early treatment for COVID-19, it can produce 50% reduced risk of hospitalization and 75% reduced risk of mortality. Well, those are good things. What are the mathematical statistical analysis on vaccine effectiveness? I bet they're better than hydroxychloroquine, but here are the facts according to this article, this fact check. I'm not sure where that data is coming from. The scientific consensus is that hydroxychloroquine is not a valid treatment for COVID. Hydroxychloroquine, typically used to treat malaria, was first approved under an emergency use authorization by the FDA in March of 2020. 3 months later, in June of 2020, the FDA canceled its recommendation after finding the medication was unlikely to be effective at treating COVID and resulted in some serious side effects, such as a regular heartbeat. Wasn't that when they moved on to horse paste? So anyways, there's a whole article full of misinformation that Rojo is spreading around, you know, getting a second opinion, if you will. Not a fact-based second opinion, but, you know, he's keeping busy. And he's on the road, coming to Dane County in the morning. 844-967-2789. I'm going to the phones right now. My pal, Pizza the Box. How you been, Michael?
Wow, Ron Johnson's in town tomorrow. It's warming up, too, man. I don't know about, you know, sitting around in the basement for a couple of days. The last 2 days hasn't been a bad idea. Listen, when he's talking about other people's children like that, that's like, you know, the whistle for brown kids and poor people, right? And he knows, he said, you got to remember, we're number one in racism. So that works for part of it. And didn't he just get, like, David Duke's endorsement?
You might be making that part up, Michael.
Wisconsin. Did you get that?
Wisconsin. We got that. We're paying attention. We listen to you, Michael. You know, I don't always giggle aloud. I'm laughing on the inside.
Listen, it's not that funny, though, is it? I mean, to live in the most fascist state in the union when it's, like, really a awful union and it's really not a union?
It's not great.
Not looking good, man. You know what is it? Oh, that movie, I need to watch it again. This isn't going to end well. I need something to make me laugh.
At least we got great weather, Michael.
Coming tomorrow.
Well, you don't like it. When I got up this morning, buddy, and I took the kids to school, 18 below zero, and I don't mean the wind chill. That was on the thermostat, 18 below. It's about time to move.
I was there. I went and got my coffee, man. It didn't freeze, though.
No. You know, I had mouthwash in my car. The mouthwash in my car, alcohol-based mouthwash, it was frozen solid as a rock, buddy.
Probably exploded because you never use it.
Ha ha! Here's where I cut you off, Pizza Box. Bastard people.
That was solid. Zinger, man.
You stupid son of a bitch. No, I like Pizza Box. He knows that. I tease. You know, the Defeat the Mandates rally that happened Sunday in D.C. was not exactly the blockbuster event size-wise organizers had hoped for. The event planners had predicted 20,000, but more reasonable estimates suggested it was fewer than half who actually showed up. But despite the paltry turnout, the event was deeply troubling to experts who monitor the far right. And then, you know, Rojo entertained a number of them at the Senate building in D.C. the next day. The alternative opinions on COVID-19 rally, or whatever he's calling it. Anyways, more from the Raw Story coverage. The tone and tenor of the occasion was so hyperbolic and self-aggrandizing, creating exactly the sort of conditions that will further radicalize ordinary Republicans and stoke more right-wing violence. Disgustingly, one of the main speakers was Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of a Democratic scion who was assassinated in 1968. Kennedy has spent the past few years becoming an increasingly unhinged anti-vaccine activist, but his presence on Sunday was even more alarming considering the role the Kennedy family plays in the imaginations of the QAnon cult. Well, I hear JFK Jr. is going to be Trump's running mate, you know, back from the grave. Do you know who Robert F. Kennedy is married to? I guess I'm asking you, Evan, and the audience. 844-967-2789.
No.
You ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? Larry David?
Yeah.
Larry David, Larry David's the George character, effectively, in Seinfeld. But he does a HBO show called Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Larry, perhaps because, you know, he became wealthy doing Seinfeld, and this is sort of a semi-autobiographical, but of course, set up for comedy purpose.
Yeah, it's all improv. That's sort of its niche, that they make it all up.
But his wife, or at least the character that plays his wife, I believe the actress name, Cheryl Hines.
Yep, I can picture her.
She's married to Robert Kennedy Jr.
Ugh.
She's married to Bobby's kid. And she came out and basically excoriated her own husband and said, what my husband said on this topic is despicable.
It was truly despicable, too.
Here's my question. Where are you at, Mrs. Rojo? Mrs. Johnson, when are you going to call your husband's false claims despicable? What did he say exactly, Kennedy? Even in Hitler's Germany, you could cross the Alps into Switzerland. You could hide in the attic like Anne Frank did. I visited in 1962 East Germany with my father and met people who had climbed the wall and escaped. It was possible. Many died true, but it was possible.
Should we tell him how that Anne Frank story ends?
While Kennedy's analogy is incoherent for obvious reasons, does he think East Germany was a Nazi state? Or not know that Frank died at the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp and was widely criticized for being offensive? Yes, you were a little offensive. Your own wife called you out publicly. The Auschwitz Memorial responded with a tweet describing Kennedy's speech as a sad symptom of moral and intellectual decay. Just like you, Rojo. Come back. More Devils Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. Time for your phone calls. There's still time. Dial us up. 844-967-2789. Children, you go to the top of the list. You are our future.